From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, as he brings the next portion of a message called The Cure for Fainting. The text is chapter 12 and verse 3. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. The emphasis throughout chapter 11 is upon living by faith. As Dr. Cairns has been showing, it is by faith in the finished work of Christ that Christians receive the grace and the strength to endure in the race that is set before us. In the scriptural sense, fainting is a great weariness that comes upon God's people as a result of their battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Often, adverse circumstances that never seem to have an end can cause the Christian to think of giving up. Yet, in a great declaration, the text exhorts us to consider Christ. This is the key to overcoming fainting. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Mark chapter 1, verse 41. I will. Be thou clean. Primeval darkness heard the almighty fiat, Light be, and straightway light was. And the Lord Jesus' word is equal in majesty to that ancient word of power. Redemption, like creation, has its word of might. Jesus speaks, and it is done. Leprosy yielded to no human remedies, but it fled at once at the Lord's I will. The disease exhibited no hopeful signs or tokens of recovery. Nature contributed nothing to its own healing. But the unaided word effected the entire work, on the spot and forever. The sinner is in a plight more miserable than the leper. Let him imitate his example, and go to Jesus, beseeching him and kneeling down to him. Let him exercise what little faith he has, even though it should go no further than, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And there need be no doubt as to the result of the application. Jesus heals all who come, and casts out none. In reading the narrative in which our morning's text occurs, it is worthy of devout notice that Jesus touched the leper. This unclean person had broken through the regulations of the ceremonial law and pressed into the house. But Jesus, so far from chiding him, broke through the law himself in order to meet him. He made an interchange with the leper, for while he cleansed him, he contracted by that touch a Levitical defilement. Even so, Jesus Christ was made sin for us, although in himself he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, that poor sinners would go to Jesus, believing in the power of his blessed substitutionary work, and they would soon learn the power of his gracious touch. That hand which multiplied the loaves, which saved sinking Peter, which upholds afflicted saints, which crowns believers, that same hand will touch every seeking sinner, and in a moment make him clean. The love of Jesus is the source of salvation. He loves, he looks, he touches us, we live.
There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one.
Yes, there's room at the cross for you. The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and its grace all free is sufficient for me. And deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain.
As you listen to today's broadcast, we'd like to express our appreciation to those of you who make Let the Bible Speak a regular part of your day. Over the years since LTBS has been on the air, we've heard from many folk who have been blessed and encouraged in their Christian lives through these programs. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to bring this Christ-centered preaching and God-honoring sacred music into your home, vehicle, or workplace. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, whose messages you hear on the broadcast, LTBS is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, which is produced in Northern Ireland. It may be that you have wondered about the origin and purpose of the Free Presbyterian Church. Stated briefly, the Free Presbyterian Church is a denomination that stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers around the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, please contact Faith Free Presbyterian Church at their toll-free number 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. Or you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Someone from the church will be glad to get in touch with you and to provide you with further details. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, www.fpcna.org. Again, that's www.fpcna.org. Thank you.
The men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants, come up to us quickly, and save us and help us. Slack not thy hand. When that came to be translated into Greek, the very word that is used here for faint in your mind, faint, is the word that was used. Slacken not your hand. Do not relax your hand. In other words, Joshua, do not let your resolve be weakened. Do not let your vigilance be relaxed. Do not let your promise be broken. Do not let your strength be exhausted. Joshua, slacken not your hand to come and help us. Now that's the very thought that Paul is expressing here when he says, lest you become faint in your mind. Lest you become, and notice the repetition, I said the first word has in it the idea of mental exhaustion. This one doesn't necessarily have in it the idea of mental exhaustion, so therefore he adds the words in your mind. He's dealing specifically with the area, the sphere of the mind of the child of God. And he's saying that you can become tired out. You can become enfeebled through exhaustion. Remember what he wrote to the churches of Galatia in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 9. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap in due season if we faint not. Or quite literally, for not fainting, we shall reap in due season. This then is the danger to the people of God, that they can become weary, tired, exhausted, become despondent, become faint-hearted. This is the danger. Notice it's a danger that is located first and foremost in the mind. Then it will travel to the will, and then it will be seen in his actions, in his everyday life. Paul is warning us about such a mental and spiritual weakness or staleness as is going to sap our vital energy and our ability to run the race. I have given you numerous examples in the past, especially as I looked at verse 1 of this passage of Scripture, that in athletic competition on the physical level, bodies may be finely tuned. The muscles may be at their strongest. And yet if the athlete is not strong in mind, he cannot possibly compete effectively. Paul knows this is even more true in the matter of running the race. Let's be very, very down to earth about this. We have in the church, this church and every other church, some great strong men. Bodily, they have tremendous energy. But that doesn't mean it counts for anything spiritually. Now, it can count for something spiritually. But you know, I have been in places, I have been in tough spots where we have had to take a stand for God, where the force of hell has been arrayed against us. And really, I could pick out some weak-bodied women that I would rather have had there beside me in those occasions than many a strong man, because they had the spiritual, moral, and mental power to do something for God. You see, it's possible in the spiritual life to have no mind, no heart, no spiritual strength, to be so spiritually still that even your natural abilities count for nothing in the work of God. You think of this. Maybe I'm speaking of somebody here today. In fact, let me change that. I have no doubt I'm speaking of a lot of people here today. And I'm speaking from experience. I'm not talking down to you from the heights of Mount Everest to say, you poor souls, I'm glad I never have to experience this. There's not one of us here but has this in his own experience. We have had such a mental and moral and spiritual steelness about us that it has sapped our ability to serve God. It has led us to give up doing our plain duty. How many a time we know what we ought to do and we just don't have the energy to do it. We know that we should pray. We know that we should be rejoicing in the Lord. We know that we should be witnessing. We know what we ought to be doing. But we don't have the energy to do what our plain duty is. This staleness saps our energy also so that it causes us to take a different attitude to sin than we know we ought to take. We, instead of putting the finger on sin, recognizing sin, confessing sin, repudiating sin, and turning away from sin, we begin to come up with reasons why sin is not so sinful. We become to come to the place where we begin to rationalize. We become the greater hypocrites because we put our finger on the same sin in somebody else's life. We have no doubt as to its sinfulness there, but my, once it comes home to our own lives, it's altogether different. This staleness sapping our energy also ensnares us in compromise with the world and with the devil. Now this is the danger. It's a real danger. Paul says, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind, lest you become mentally, spiritually exhausted and so enfeebled that you can't do your duty. You can't take a stand against sin and you just slide into compromise. That's the danger. Now follow him carefully because he makes also a great declaration. Watch it. Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary. Notice the force of the lest. Consider him, lest you be weary. What's he saying? Consider him, and you will not become weary and faint in your mind. That's the plain meaning. Consider him, Paul says, and it is impossible for you to become weary and faint in your mind. That's one way of putting the declaration. Let me turn it around and therefore put it in another way. What Paul is declaring here is that Christians become weary and faint in their mind when they forget the Lord. That's what he's saying. When they get their mind off Christ. Oh, while they have their minds firmly set upon the Lord Jesus, they cannot become weary and faint in their mind. They may become weak in body. They may become physically drained because Christians are still in the body. The greatest preachers, the greatest missionaries, even the apostles themselves found that their physical resources were drained. The Lord Jesus said, come ye apart and rest a while. That's perfectly natural and normal. But they do not become faint and weary in their mind. But once God's people get their eyes on circumstances, not on the Savior, then they do become weary and faint in their mind. Let me give you a couple of outstanding examples. I suppose in the New Testament, the most famous example is Peter walking in the water. He walked toward the Lord. I've often said when I refer to this passage of Scripture that I'm not among those who want to berate Peter for his great failure, because I don't think there's one of us would have been any better than the other 11 who were still stuck inside the boat. At least Peter did get his leg over the side of the boat, and he did get on the water, and he did walk on the water by faith in Christ. But then he saw the winds and the waves, boisterous, and he saw his danger. He saw his circumstances, and he began to sink. The presence of Christ had not changed. The power of Christ had not changed. The promise of Christ had not changed. But Peter wasn't looking at Christ anymore. Peter was looking at the wind-tossed waves. And so he began to sink. Not only that, but as he looked at those wind-tossed waves, Peter began to reason as a carnal man. You see, when he was in the boat, he saw the same waves. He was a Galilean fisherman. Nobody knew the treachery of the Sea of Galilee better than Peter. Nobody knew the impossibility of walking on top of the water better than Peter. He saw those waves. But you see, as he saw those waves in the boat, Peter was looking unto Jesus. He was considering Christ, and he was thinking as a spiritual man. And he said, "Lord, bid me come to you." In other words, "Lord, give me your word, and I'll stand in your word, and not a thing in heaven, earth, or hell can ever overcome the word of God." He was thinking right. And as he thought right, he walked in the water at the Lord's command. When you have the Lord's word for something, you can defy anything and anybody. When the Lord bids you, God's command implies a promise. You can take it with both hands and trust Him. But when Peter got out in the water, he began to think as a carnal man. Began to think, "What I'm doing is impossible. What I'm doing can't possibly be true. What God expects of me cannot possibly be done." He began to sink. This is a very real danger for every Christian.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.